Come on, let me bring you down just a little. See you on the left, right, and the middle. Oh, oh, yeah. We worship you, we worship you. Father, Jesus, Spirit, now that's the movement. If you really feel it now, come on, prove it. Oh, oh, yeah. We worship you, we worship you. Psalms 34 and 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Let's do that for a minute. Go ahead, Cal.
Welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. We're so excited about what God is going to do in the house today. We pray that you came in primed with the power of the Holy Spirit. I just want to remind you that we are a Pentecostal church. We believe that God heals. We believe that God does miracles. We believe that God sets the captives free. We believe that God restores, He forgives, He renews. Glorious Heavenly Father, we honor You. Father, I pray that You will fan the flame inside of us, that the fire of the Holy Spirit will consume us, that You will make us new in all things, Jesus. Father, but that we will see You face to face today, that we will experience Your presence in a mighty supernatural way, and the ways of old, the way that Abraham experienced You, the way that Moses experienced Your presence as he hid in the crook of the rock. Father, we want to experience You as Lazarus experienced You. Lord, we give You the glory because You are all power. You are all love. You are all salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's praise our Jesus.
I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart. other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God.
Lift your hand if you know that the blood still works. That amazing blood that he shed on the cross for you and me, it still works. Come on and sing this out.
Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still, it flows from your throne. Jesus, some still don't know. The blood that you shed still, it flows.
Sing that with me.
Your blood still, it flows from your throne.
Somebody say,
Jesus,
some still don't know.
The blood that you shed still, it flows.
Your blood will never lose its power. Sing it out.
Power.
bless. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 We worship your name this morning. You know what we've been praying for? We've been praying for God just to breathe on us. Do you know, in the very beginning, God made man in his image. But man was made out of the dust of the earth. But it wasn't until God breathed into him that life came. And you know, today, all we need, some of you are the walking dead in the spirit. It's not that you don't love God, but you've gotten really cold. And God just wants to breathe in you. Just like he did Adam, just a breath. And that breath of newness will revitalize you, revive you, restore you, reupholster you. Man, you can't ever get satisfied with where you are in Christ. Can I hear an amen? You got to keep growing. Turn to someone and say, you got to keep growing. Some of you have stopped, and the Lord just wants to encourage you today. You've not gone too far. In fact, I just kept hearing in my spirit as we were singing that last song that there's some here that just literally feel like maybe this is it. I love God, but this is all I've come for. This is all I'm going to get. God doesn't have any more for me, and I want you to know that's a lie from hell. God's got so much for you that you can't even imagine the goodness he has in your life. But there's something that has to happen, and many times we don't think about this. Remember the message I preached on push? If you weren't here for that message, you want to get online and get that one. It's called push. Sometimes you got to push. Now, if you were dating at one point in time, the ladies sometimes just stay a little bit more aloof to see how interested you are in them. You know, it's not that they don't want you. It's not that they don't think you're cute. But then just step back just a little bit to see if you're actually after them. And you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit, sometimes what God will do is he wants to know, do you really want me? Do you really want who I am? Do you really want what I have for you? And so sometimes he'll stay just aloof and he'll say, how far are you willing to come to get what you've come for? And some of you, you just always seem to stop just before you do that breakthrough. Just before you get ready to step your foot over the threshold of a new move of God in your life, you turn right around, you turn the opposite direction. The Lord is saying, you got to push. You got to push through. Don't be satisfied with where you are. Where you are is great, but what God has for you is greater. Amen? Abundantly above all you can even ask or imagine. It's not just a theory or a thought process or a religious statement. It's truth. You got to get over that threshold. We've been starting to call the pastors because we're believing that for the church. We want more of God's presence in every single service than we've ever wanted before. So the last 3 weeks, I've had the pastors here and the staff here at 7:15 a.m. just to do one thing, to pray for this service right now. And I believe that God's Spirit is calling you now. I want to invite you. 7:15 every Sunday morning, we're going to be praying right here. If you want to pray, you want to see God move like we've never seen him move before, let me tell you what I want to see. I want it to be so amazing that no man could ever get credit for it. I want it to be such a breathtaking move of the Holy Spirit that nobody can say, well, Pastor Spencer, nope, only Jesus could have pulled that one off. I'm believing for miracles that are so powerful, they're absolutely undeniable. I'm just believing God for greater things we've ever seen before, because people need Jesus. Can I hear an amen? And if we, the church, don't have him, oh my goodness, then why would they ever want him? Can I hear an amen? The church is running from the supernatural, and the world is running to the supernatural. And it's time to change our direction. And it's time to pursue God like we've never pursued him before. And I believe that 2018 is that year. I believe that God is going to bring in a harvest this year that we've never seen before. You know what? I want to see it just like the book of Acts. The Bible said he added to the church daily, but then he multiplied the church. Can I hear an amen? When God starts multiplying, you better hang on, because even the shadow of Peter will heal the sick. Can I hear an amen? A boy falls out of a third-story window and dies, but the man of God walks out and raises him from the dead. God is able. God is able. God is hungering. God desires. Sickness and disease got to come under the authority of Jesus' name. It's time to move. It's time to move. It's time to push. Come on, shout it out loud. Push. I can't hear you. Shout it out loud. Come on, let hell hear you. Let heaven hear you. Let your neighbor hear you. We're going to push into God like we've never pushed before. Can I hear an amen? Amen. On your way back to your chair, tell 5 and 6 folks, say, I'm going to push this year like I've never pushed before.
Hey, parents, are you over-coddling your child? Are you having issues within your family and raising your children? Listen, we got the class just for you in Step 2. Starting June 12th, we're having a family and parenting class at 7 p.m. for the next 8 weeks. Make sure you come out and learn how to be a godly parent and raise up a godly family. We'll see you June 12th, 7 p.m.
It's almost time for our annual Father's Day event with the Pioneers at Dunn Field. This is a great opportunity to grab your family, hang out with your church family, and spend the afternoon together. The game starts at 5 p.m. and tickets are available at the Hub.
Featuring this week, Chemung County Group with Pastor Chad and Jade Spencer.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are you doing this wonderful morning? Come on, put your hands together for your King of Kings, for your Lord of Lords. Come on, you can do better than that. He woke you up this morning. Come on, He put breath in your lungs. He got you to church. Come on, give it up for your King. Give it up for your King. He deserves it. He deserves it. If you have nothing else, you have breath in your lungs. He deserves it. Amen. As y'all can tell, we love Jesus here. We're slightly excited about all the things that He's done in our lives, and we're so excited you could come and worship with us this morning. If this is your first time here, can I just see your hands lifted up? This is your first time here? Awesome. Can you guys please put it together for our first time guests? That is amazing. Awesome. Please keep your hands lifted up. We have a gift for you. There's a mug in there. There's some information about our church. But most importantly, we want to get to know you guys a little bit more. So after our service, on this side of the building, we have a guest reception. There'll be free coffee, free donuts, free whatever else we have there. But we want you to get to know some of us. We want to get to know you a little bit more. And want to just say thank you again. There were thousands of churches across the nation, but you chose this morning to come and worship with us. So we want to thank you for that. Amen. So give it up for our guests just one more time. Awesome. Now keep on clapping for our live stream. Y'all are amazing. Thank you so much for tuning in faithfully every single week. And we want to challenge you, if you live within 1 hour of here, get in the car and come see us. We want to see your beautiful face. We have people that drive. Actually, I think the furthest one is 2 hours from Rochester. 2 hours. He's here every single week because He knows that there's something special about this place. Amen. As you guys have in your hands, you have your bulletins. If you don't have one, you can get one on the way back out. There's so much going on at our church. I want to just highlight two things. We stand on two things at this church. We love people. Amen. We want to live life with you. It is horrible to live life by yourself. I don't care how isolated or introverted you are, it still is not great to live life by yourself. So we want to invite you to join a group. Amen. All my group leaders, wave your hands. All the group leaders, awesome. If you have not been part of a group, reach out to these one people and say, hey, I want to join your group. They meet all the time, everywhere, anywhere. It's going to be a great time. But in addition to loving people, we want to make sure that you understand the Word of God. You are trained up in the education of the Word. Amen? So we actually have behind us one of the classes that we have that's called Next Steps. Shout Next Steps. Shout Next Steps. This is where you get to have a more rock-solid faith. You begin to understand, why do I believe what I believe? This man that's so dashing up here, when he begins to teach and preach, you know, I just want my job for tomorrow. it's good to hear it, but once you actually get into your spirit for yourself, that's when things actually begin to change. So we actually want to celebrate everyone that has gone through Next Steps. And we have here our evangelism class. So we're going to have Sherry come up.
Good morning. So we have these classes going on all the time. They're 8-week classes. You can miss two if you need to, but we encourage you not to. But we want to make sure that you're trained up and that you know how to go out and win souls for Christ. So this is just one of them. We have the next one starting on June 12th. It's Parenting and Family. And Josiah Skinkle is teaching that class, so that's going to be awesome. So come on out at 7 o'clock and be part of it. All these guys have finished our evangelism class. There's more out there that you didn't come to the hallway, guys. So see me. I have your certificates, but we'll get them to you. But congratulations. Good job. Good job. You can go. Thank you. You can go. All right. Pastor Rhonda?
What's his shirt say? Hey, I do want to say this. You know, we have a lot of folks that call us and say, hey, Pastor, we need some help. We need some counseling. Listen, we have these classes for you so that you can grow and know. Now, it's okay that we have individual if necessary. But, you know, we're getting ready to launch this class. It's family and parenting. Now, some of you grew up in bad family environments. Some of you grew up in bad You were under some bad parents. Not that they didn't love you, but they didn't have the skills. This is the class. You don't want to miss it. And Josiah Skinkle, everyone sees him just as this quiet guy. He is really funny. I mean, I know it's going to be hard to believe. But when you get in that classroom, you're going to see how funny he is. And the class is going to be awesome. You need your family to be solid in the kingdom, and you need your children to grow up as men and women of God. Well, that was awful sad. I said, you need your families to be an example to the world, and you need your kids to grow up loving Jesus. Now, if Josiah Skinkle's children didn't like God, and his wife didn't like God, and his wife was ready to leave him, he wouldn't be teaching the class. So he has an element of success, and we'd encourage you to be in this class every Tuesday night. Listen, I'm just going to say it right out loud. I know I'm going to offend some of you, but that's all right. Thank you. If you come to us after this 8-week class and say, Pastor, we need some counseling for my family and my children, and you didn't go to that class, we're going to send you to somebody who you have to pay. A paid counselor. Is that all right? Is that fair? We're offering the class because we want you to know and grow. And if you're not going to take the class, that's all right. We'll send you to a paid counselor. You have to pay them, not us. Amen? Pastor Rhonda.
Amen. Yeah, so that song, I'm going to sing until I can't sing anymore. That's the case for me this morning. My voice is holding on by a thread. We started at 7:15 a.m. just shouting before the Lord, and it has continued on, and it's been fantastic. So I'm going to sip my way through with my tea this morning. So as we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, one of the fallacies that goes through people's minds is that God does not care about my finances. We don't really need this portion of the service. God doesn't really care. He doesn't care about those things. I want to show you in Psalms 35:27. We quote this all the time. And it says that he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. So it is complete fallacy that God doesn't care about your money. God cares so much about your money. He takes pleasure in your prosperity. And there's also the parable of the talents. And it says in Matthew that the kingdom of God is like this. As a man went away and he gave to each of his servants talents in different portions, and he gave them the ability to gain wealth. He gives us the ability to gain wealth. And when they brought it back, they were then judged on it. The ones that produced from what they were given, he said, well done. So he cares. The one that did not produce, he said, depart from me, you wicked servant. God cares about our finances. That's why he tells us to tithe. Tithe is 10% of our income. He tells us to tithe so that we will walk under blessing. He'll rebuke the devourer. We're under an open heaven. And the open heaven goes further than just our money. The open heaven is our prosperity and our health even. The open heaven. He's going to have a nice quiet afternoon. Which isn't fair, because I get so excited about what God does in church that I'm just like this all afternoon about God's goodness. That's okay. I'll sip tea then, too, and I'll keep talking. But the open heaven is his kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which is there's no lack in heaven. There's health in heaven. There's no pain, no sorrow, no sickness, no disease. He wants his children to prosper. And we do that by tithes and offerings. He has given us the ability to gain wealth. Now you may say, well, that's not true because it's not happening in my life. Listen, in Hebrews it tells us that everybody heard the same word, but the ones that prospered were the ones that received it with faith and did it. So you may have tithed in the past, and maybe you tithe once in a while. You can't afford to not tithe. We have to follow God's principles. And when we follow God's principles of giving, then we are blessed going in and blessed going out. And God takes that serious. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children.
Brother Don Johnson, some of you don't know him. He actually works with Brother Ted Shuttlesworth, who's coming in November. And it was funny. One day we were just chatting at one of the meetings in the breakfast, and he was saying, you know, at one time I was out mowing my lawn, and I was having a lot of struggle with our finances. And, you know, he's a man he worked with R.W. Shambach. He's worked with Brother Ted Shuttlesworth. I'm talking like he understands, knows. And he said to the Lord, he said, I don't understand why I'm struggling financially, God. It doesn't make sense. I'm a tither. I'm a sower. And the Lord said, you missed a tithe. And he said, no, God, we don't miss tithe. And the Lord said, I told you missed a tithe. Go back and look. No more than just a few minutes later, his phone rang. It was Brother Ted Shuttlesworth, who was up in West Virginia. He's down in Florida. And said, you know, Brother Don, I was praying, and the Lord spoke to me and said, it's a tithe. I don't know what it means, but just want you to know, it's a tithe. He went back, and he looked, and they had accidentally missed a tithe. The moment they started tithing, boom, finances came back up in their life. Isn't that powerful? I did a wedding yesterday, and one of the young men was saying to me, he's come to this church, and he and his family are here, and it's exciting. And he said, Pastor, I know when I miss a tithe because my hours go down and my bank account goes down. He said, but every time I start tithing again, I watch it ramp back up. He said, because I've realized through God's word, it's always true. And we challenge you to live in God's trueness. Turn to someone and say, trueness. Is that a word? Is it? I feel good now. I was trying to make one up. Trueness. Tithe, and you'll always see God open up the windows of heaven and bless you. Turn to someone and say, be a tither. Are you ready? Shout it out loud. If I obey. Are you supposed to stand? I haven't done offering in so long, I don't even know how to do it anymore. Are you ready? I can't hear you. Shout, if I obey, I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. Now, some of you got a very small basket. Come on now, make a basket. I'm blessed in my basket. Now, the front row folks are down there. They're like, rawr. I watched a husband and wife yesterday combine their basket. Glory to God. I'm blessed in my basket. And I don't remember the rest of it.
The blessings are going to chase me down.
The blessings are going to chase me down.
They're going to trip me up. Because I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
All right, hold on. Before you come forward, hold on. I can't yell. Lower my voice. We want to make sure we give you opportunity. Many of you have asked. You had money set aside for Mikey's ride that we did yesterday that's going towards the funeral proceeds. Listen very carefully. We have golden buckets up here. This is if you brought something and you want to donate to Mikey's fund for his funeral services to help the family with their expenses. This golden bucket specifically is for that. Your tithe goes in the baskets. So are you ready to shout it out? I'm blessed. Okay, let's get back in here. You guys shout. I can't. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. All right, come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. We want to give a shout out to the His Line Crossers Motorcycle Ministry and coming together and being a support. And they were able to raise $3,300 yesterday. And, you know, I want you to make sure that you're praying. Yes. Oh, make sure you're praying in second service. Mikey's dad, mom, and the uncle who was he was living with will be in service next service. So we want to make sure that we're praying for them. And, you know, we just know that God, not all things are good. Can I hear an amen? But God can make all things work together for good. You know, the devil's foul, but we know that God is able to turn things around. And for those who don't know, a young man that was in our youth ministry drowned this week, right out in the quarry. And Mikey used to sing on the worship team. In fact, this week he was actually supposed to start back up on the worship team. And, you know, he was out swimming and he didn't make it across where he was going and drowned. A horrible situation, and we've been praying for the family and loving on everybody. And I just want you to know that you're an amazing church, and the amount of people that have stepped up to help and to be part of the healing process, you are amazing people. Can you turn to someone and say, you're an amazing person? It's true. And I'm just blessed to, and we are blessed to be your pastors. And we just want to say how proud we are to pastor His Tabernacle Family Church. Why is that? Because you genuinely do love people. And that's what we've been preaching about. In fact, before we start, I just have to say, Pastor Obi, you look just amazing today. Pastor Obi, come on up here. Pastor Obi and I are twinning today. Can you button yours? I know. Mine's really tight to button. But Pastor Obi and I, Pastor Obi and I are twinning today. The jackets are nice. You look good, brother. It's true. It's true, but we won't talk about that. Amen. I'd like you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 20. And that is what we've been talking about this whole year. This is the year of... All two of you. I say, this is the year of... Turn to someone and say, God's given me you as a divine connection. We were talking about how God's passion is that we also are somebody's divine connection. You know, it's really cool having somebody come into our life that's a divine connection, but it's totally different when you and I are their divine connection. And many times we don't think about that. Many times we are so wrapped up in our own lives. And last week we started preaching about love and about how everything has to be done in love. And strangely enough, this diabolical disconnect to where literally, not figuratively, the devil has worked generationally across the nation to disconnect people from love. What they've done is now we looked at the millennials and statistically, I believe it was 75 to 80% of them actually would rather communicate via a text or electronics than face-to-face. They're more comfortable with electronics than face-to-face. The Z generation, you know who they are. My wife and I actually saw one of them yesterday running around with earbuds in their ear all over the place. They're very disconnected, and we think, well, that's just the kids in their age. It's not true. What's happening is we're seeing a disconnect from people loving people. And it's not just them, it's the adults as well. How many of you remember when you were younger, you used to know all your neighbors' names? I didn't say you called them names, I said you knew their names. Amen. You knew who they were. In fact, if they needed a cup of sugar, they would call you and they'd run over and grab a cup of sugar and you didn't even ask for it back. You just were just a giving person. What's happened is, even in the church world, things have changed. It used to be that everybody was your uncle and aunt. I'm not kidding you. Everybody was your uncle and aunt, and you really weren't sure who really was. It was really a family design, and everybody just kind of hung out together and laughed together. It was really normal to go over to somebody else's house. You know what's really abnormal now is having somebody over to your house. It used to be a normal thing where everybody would just hang out and laugh and joke, and you'd have to kick them out of church because, man, they just love to hang out and talk with their friends. They'd all hit a restaurant. They'd hit the restaurant together. Now we've become so individual and separate that most people don't even know at Most people don't really know anybody even in church these days. Unless you join a group, turn to someone and say, you should join a group. Unless you join a group, most of the time you don't know anybody. Most of the time you come in, listen, I'm not knocking, but there's a time to go further. You walk in and you shake someone's hand and you say, hi, how are you? You hope you remember their name. If you don't, you just fake it like you remember their name. How many have faked that you remember somebody's name? Everybody else, you're a liar. You fake that you remember their name, and you kind of just went through the conversation, and you're thinking in your head, who was this? Who was this? Who was this? I don't even remember them. You know, it's really strange, my wife and I, because of the TV program, we'll be out in the community, and someone will run up to us. I mean, like, literally run up to us. Oh, my goodness, how are you? And I'm going, oh, God, do I know them? They know me because I'm in their living room every week. But I don't know who they are. They just think I do. So everybody on TV, we love you. Amen. Amen. I believe this week, Brother Rick, am I correct? This week we hit the Roku and all the other portions. I believe we're hitting 2.1 million people this week. That's a lot of folk, isn't it? 2.1 million people, and then locally, before we also put the TV program now on just after the late night programs, we were hitting up to 6,000 people. Now we'll be more people because we moved it also to another time. God's good to us, amen? We're truly reaching our region. But what happened in this diabolical disconnect is that many people no longer communicate well. So what's happened is we stay to ourselves and love is lost. In fact, we're so wrapped up in our own little worlds that to really care what's happened to somebody else is rare. Unless it hits your own home. You know, we were talking about that yesterday at the ride with the TV. The lady from Spectrum was in the Spectrum News. And her and I were chatting and I said, you know, isn't it sad that many people don't ever have a connection until something horrific occurs? We wait for a tragedy to happen before we make a connection. And man, we've got to change that. We're the church. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says they shall know us by our love. Shout, I'm a lover. No, I didn't say lover. I said lover. Come on, stay with the program. Shout, I'm a lover. Amen. The Bible says that you and I, it's so important that we recognize we need this fresh baptism of love for people again. You know, you and I need to be these individuals that when we see a travesty and before we see it, we actually are moved with love. What is love? Love is not sympathy. Does everybody know what sympathy is? Sympathy is, oh, I feel so sorry for you. Oh, my goodness, that's bad. I'm sorry. That's sympathy. How many of you know sympathy does nothing? Sympathy does nothing. But empathy is different. Empathy is when you take your sympathy and put actions to it. You see, Christ was moved with compassion or action. And God is calling his church back to love people again, to where we'll be not just individuals that sit back on the sideline and say, well, I'll pray for you. Do you realize that most of the time when someone says, I'm praying for you, they're not? It's time to get back to understanding that the reason that we're here is to love people. The reason that we're here is to show Christ. And Christ was motivated by, come on now, church. Christ was motivated by love. What does love actually look like? You see, we all have our own concepts of love. In fact, you grew up in a household where they told you there was love, and it might have been the furthest thing from real love that you could ever imagine. Abusers many times will tell the abused that, well, I'm just showing you love. And that abused individual, that's what they think love really is. You see, the twisted and warped mentality of this world is something that you cannot trust. We have got to get back to what does love really look like? What does love really act like? What is true love? Everybody shout, true love. Because until we recognize what true love is, we'll only live our love, which could be twisted and kind of warped. Turn to someone and say, don't be warped. It's important that we know what true love is. Our verse for the year is Mark 16, verse 20. And God worked with them. Hold on, I almost lost it. Hold on, I got to move it. There we go. And God worked with them. Thank you. Confirming his word with signs and wonders following. God wants to use you with signs and wonders following. But you see, what motivates the signs and the wonders is not the signs and the wonders, but the love. When you see somebody and they're in a bad position, love should motivate you to signs and wonders, not signs and wonders motivating you. You see, many people have sought after the signs and the wonders, and Jesus says, I'm not giving this evil generation a sign and a wonder. What Christ was showing the literal. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Everything is about, come on, everything is about, and we've got to start loving again. I'm not talking our love, but God's love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the verse we read at almost every wedding. Actually, the last two, we did not read at their wedding. But if you want me to read it at yours, I will. Here's the verse. Ready? Starting with verse 1. I'm going to read the Amplified version because it's a little bit louder. You're kind of slow this morning, aren't you? If you're not if you don't know what the Amplified version is, it's just like using the King James version, but they use synonyms for you and I to understand more in our time what that word is actually saying. So it's the same word, they're just using synonyms so that you and I would have a greater understanding. Here's verse 1. If I can speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion such as is inspired by God's love for us and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand that all secret truths and mysteries possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I could remove mountains, but I don't love God's love in me, I am nothing and I'm useless. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor, providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love, I gain nothing. I'm going to change over to the TPT version, the Passion Translation. I love this. Verse 4, love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievement or inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take an offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter. I love that one. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love, God's love, is already in you. Turn to someone and say, I already got that. Tell somebody else, I already got that. You see, no matter what you have and what you were trained or how you were trained as a child, no matter what your perceptions of love is, maybe because of your relationship with your spouse that ended in a divorce, or as children whose parents were abusive and nasty and mean, no matter what experience you have, I'm here to train you according to the word of God. The Bible says that we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you have the mind of Christ. You see, as believers, we don't have to live in our past, live in our yesterday, but we can create our new today. Well, you know, you just don't know. No, I know what it is. That's your excuse. It's time to throw out all excuses. Can I hear an amen? And it's time for you and I to truly love people again, to truly have passion for people. Even as Christ showed us, Christ demonstrated to us that true love changes lives. He literally changed the world by love. You see, without love, it absolutely means nothing. The Bible says, we just read the verse, if I can speak a ton of languages and even speak in other tongues. Well, they're very spiritual. They speak in other tongues. That's a very spiritual person. Listen, you can be as spiritual as you want, but if it's not motivated by love, it means nothing. We need to get that in our spirit. Because many of us actually look at people that seem more spiritual. Listen, you would look at me as your pastor and say, wow, he really is a spiritual guy. He really knows God. But I want to tell you something. There are many pastors who stand up behind the pulpit every single week, and they know the word of God, but they don't love people. If you don't love people, then it means, boy, you're with me now. Here we go. If you don't love people, it means nothing. The Bible goes on to say, if I'm super gifted in the supernatural, I can prophesy, I can lay hands on the sick, I can even raise the dead. Whoa, my God is able, can do all of that. But if I have no love, the Bible says, you're nothing. So, man, all these dudes, and you know, they come in, they move in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you want to know? I will not have a speaker in this house that does not love people. I don't care how gifted they are. I don't care how anointed they are, because you can be anointed. Man, in the Bible, it says this, that in the last days, there was people that stood before the Lord and they said, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do supernatural deeds in your name? Did we not raise the dead? Did we not da 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 da? And Jesus looked at them and said, get behind me. I don't even know you. It's not about the gift. It's about the motivation of the gift. Come on now. It's not about the gift. It's about the motivation of the gift. You see, when you're motivated by love, then action is normal. But when you're motivated by self-seeking desires, that you may be known in pride and self-fulfillment, then people will see the supernatural, but they'll not see your heart. What made a difference with Jesus is that when people could actually see that he genuinely loved them. The Bible says, if I was so generous, I gave everything away to the poor. That means you took all of your money. You have $9,622.13 in your bank account. And you walk over and you write a check. And you say, Glory, I'm gonna donate to the poor. I'm going to give all this money to the poor. I'm going to go back and be a poverty-stricken individual. But I'm donating it all. The Bible says, if you do that, but you don't do it out of love, it means nothing. What's amazing is that this is where many people that are benevolent people, they give a lot of their things, they give a lot of their time, they're doing it to actually justify themselves to feel good that they should be able to make it into heaven, but we're saved by grace through faith, not of works of righteousness, not of works that any man should boast. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. You see, we do what we do, not because we're dictated to or motivated to, but because our love for people is stronger than our love even for our own stuff. We used to love people more than we love stuff. Now most people love their stuff more than they love people. Without the pure motive of love, the Bible says, I would gain nothing of value. Love is everything. So what does it look like? Well, the Bible says true love is patient. You know, patience is very interesting. When you become a pastor, oh, I just want to say, don't pray for patience. Turn to someone and say, hit them, and say, don't pray for patience. Don't be crazy and pray for patience. I mean, you're just asking for trouble. Glory to God. One thing about being a pastor is you learn patience. You learn to be patient with people. You learn to be steadfast with people. You know, one thing I love, and people looked at me and said, I don't understand why you haven't given up on them yet. How can I give up on them? Christ hasn't given up on them. Christ loves them. He died for them. How can we give up if Christ didn't give up? We've got to be motivated by true love. Love is patient. How patient has Jesus been with you? Whoop. Let's just look at the Bible. We'll stay away from us now. You can put your toes back on the floor. How about Peter? Man, there's nobody needed patience as a disciple more than Pete. Pete had issues. Turn to someone and say, I know Pete had issues. Pete had attitude problem. He had, I'm sorry, I was going to say foot-mouth disease. He didn't. He had knee-mouth disease. He always just spoke his mind. I remember one time Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And Peter stood up and he goes, thou art the Christ. You know he had to put that, wow. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him and said, nah, man has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has. And Pete went, hey, come on now. 2 chapters later, Jesus starts talking about him dying on the cross, and Peter says, no, you won't die on the cross. I won't let you die on the cross. And Jesus looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. Not only that, Peter denied Jesus not once, not twice, but 3 times publicly. But yet Christ's patience was so powerful. True love is so powerful. True patience is so powerful that he said, I won't give up on you, Pete. The devil desires to sift you as wheat. But remember this, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And when you get up, encourage the brethren. And well, who preached the very first message at the day of Pentecost? Peter preached it. He was the rock that Christ built the church on. That first message that all of a sudden transitioned, and that day 3,000 men gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus's love is patient. Shout, I love patience. Yes, you do, and so do I. You know, I learned this a long time ago. If you want it, you better give it. What you sow, you shall. So I want people to be patient with me. So I sow being patient with them. Amen. The next one in the Bible says is that love is gentle and kind. How about the woman that was caught in adultery? You ever notice they never brought the man, just the woman? They dragged the woman before Jesus. And you know what? She was guilty. It wasn't a made-up story. It wasn't an accusation. It was truth. She was caught in the very act of adultery. And they brought her before Jesus, and they said, the Jewish law says that we should take stones and throw it at her head until she is dead. What do you say? Christ knelt down and did something in the sand. We know exactly, you know, we can assume that maybe he wrote the sins of the men that were standing around, but we don't really know. All we know is, one by one, they started leaving. But because Jesus is gentle and he's kind, how many of you know you should all be fry daddies? How many here should already be dead? How many here should already be in hell? Amen. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. What's the gift? The gift is called love. That Christ is gentle with us. Man, he pushes us. He draws us. He the Bible says that the Spirit draws us to Christ. God in his gentleness, he is there to be there for us. That man, he will never give up. I love the gentleness. He looked at the woman and he said, where are your accusers? I want to remind you, the only one who had the right to actually throw a stone, because remember what he said, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. The only one who had the right to throw the first stone was Jesus. He was without sin. But because he was gentle, because he was kind, because he genuinely loved this woman, man, the woman, she was considered disgusting. She was considered death worthy, but Jesus was gentle to her. Jesus was kind to her. And instead of picking up a stone and throwing it at her head till she was dead, he said, woman, where are your accusers? She says, I don't see. And he goes, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Man, the kindness of God, the kindness of love. Some of us have stopped being kind. Somebody dropped something at the supermarket. In fact, they created a movement to try to get kindness back. Something forward. Pay it forward. We don't need to pay it forward. Call it love. Man, when you are gentle and kind, it's just basic love. When an older lady is having struggles moving something from the store to Walmart to her car, helping her is kindness. It's gentleness. You're not doing it because you feel bad for the woman, but because you love her. We've stopped loving people. Well, I'm in a hurry. We've got to start being gentle and we've got to start being kind again. Because, man, there's nothing that will draw attention to Christ than someone being kind. Why are you doing that? Man, I love going to Starbucks and buying. Come on now. I love buying the drink for the person in back of me. It's so much fun. They look and they go, are you sure? And in their heart, they're going, I hope so. I've said, yeah, I'm sure. I just want to bless you. I just want you to know God loves you. How many times that we're kind to somebody else when they don't even deserve it? Oh, got awful quiet. I heard a moan. Oh. Come on, you're at work. You got that person. Who is that? Don't say their name. Who is that person at work that is the most irritating, the most nasty, the most grumpy, the one you avoid as much as possible? What is their name? Say it in your head. True love says you'll be gentle and kind to them. You will win them with gentleness and kindness. You will win them with the patience of Christ. You will win their hearts. Let me tell you something. When you start doing good to those who despitefully use you is what Jesus says. You know, I love what Christ said. He said, you know what? I don't understand this. What is this thing that you do good to those who you like? Even the heathen do that. But true love does it even when they're nasty. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Love isn't jealous of others being blessed. You know, this is where the church world has crashed tremendously. Somebody gets blessed and all of a sudden they go, well, where's mine? I don't understand. Where's mine? I want my blessing. Here's my favorite one. You know, when they make the accusation against the pastor. You know, we flew that helicopter for the egg drop last year. And it went all across the community and the churches. Listen, it was started in a church. It was started in a church. And they said, that's the pastor's helicopter. Listen, you can prophesy to me all you want. I'll take a helicopter. But it shows that they don't truly love. Because love is not jealous when somebody else is blessed. You want to see the true meaning of poverty thinking is somebody who gets grumpy when somebody else is blessed. I remember somebody walked up to the bishop one day and was knocking down that he, you know, he had a Rolex watch on and he had his nice suits on and he drives a nice car and they're knocking him down. And he looked and he said, listen, man, when you tithe $100,000 a year, you let me know. Listen, I wouldn't mind tithing $100,000 a year. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I wouldn't mind being able to write a $1 million check to the kingdom of God. Can I hear an amen? I wouldn't mind being able to say, well, pastor, don't worry about the new building. I'm writing a check for it. Jeez. Maybe that's somebody online. Are you watching? You know, we've got to be excited when someone's blessed. True love says when somebody else is blessed, I'm excited for them. I'm not jealous of them. Amen and oh my. Love isn't filled with pride. Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest, you must be the servant. Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served. Pride was the very essence of Lucifer's fall. I'm going to raise myself above God. Listen, true love says whatever I can do to be a blessing, I'm going to do it. True pride said, that's my time, baby. You don't got a chance of my time. You know, I love you, but I don't got time for you. Oh, do we want to talk about that at church? Now, you see, we're a very blessed church. We have a large mass of people that are working in the kingdom of God. I think Pastor Dan said, what, about a third of the folks at his tabernacle work at his tabernacle family church. They're workers in the kingdom of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But what about the two-thirds? Well, I don't have time. Listen, I've heard all the excuses. Pastor Dan has a list of them. In fact, I'm asking Pastor Dan, I'm commissioning you. Write a book on excuses. I want him to write down every excuse he's ever heard. Baby, he's heard the best of them. I'm talking real good ones. My favorite one still stands. I heard it in Pennsylvania, and it was this. Honey, I didn't see you at church. And she says, well, you know, Pastor, and she's like 55 years old. She said, Pastor, you know, I'm afraid of thunder and lightning. And I said, huh? She said, it was thundering and lightning out. So I couldn't come to church. I said, would you have gone to work? Oh, yeah. They love money more than they loved. Ooh. You see, we come to a place where pride falls down when we love, truly love people. Love is not something that we talk about. It's something we do. Well, I guess I'll move on. Love honors and respects. That's something that's missing in today's kingdom. Listen, it's a scary thing. You know, we bring in all these young people on Wednesday nights, and one of the things that shocked many of us were this. An 8 or 9 year old child will look at you and say, you don't respect me, I don't respect you. Well, that's not the way it works. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Man, I remember being a child, and if I didn't respect somebody, I got whacked in the love of the Lord. You said, what? Schwack. Why? Because it was not, man, you're honored when you're honored. It's that you, because you love somebody, you honor them. I remember there was a man that we rented from at one point in time. His name was Mr. Lawrence. And he said, just call me by my first name. I said, I can't do that. My father would beat me up. And I think I was 33. Because I couldn't dishonor. You'll notice that most of the time I call even my sons pastors. Why? It's honor to them. You know the reason that I call many of you with great endearment. I very rarely say anything with sarcasm. I don't have many pet names for anybody in the sanctuary. Why? Because I honor you. I respect you. And you see, that is true love. Men need respect. Can I hear an amen? Lady, here's the key for you. You want to keep your man happy, respect him. Men, you want your wife happy. The Bible says men should love their wife as Christ loves the church. God never told the wife to love the husband. Christ told the wife to respect the husband. See, the wife needs that overwhelming love and endearment. They need the words of affirmation and the hugs. Men, when you give your wife a hug, endorphins are released within your wife's body within the first 30 seconds, and she is a happy, happy lady. But you see, when you are honoring her, she will automatically respect you. I didn't get many amens on that one, but we'll just keep on trudging. Glory to Jesus. Love is not easily offended, and it keeps no records of wrong. What? Isn't it funny? We like to be forgiven, but we don't like to forgive. We want people to give us a fresh start, but we don't want to give them a fresh start. Kumbaya, my Lord. You got to sway when you sing that song. Kumbaya. I need a marshmallow and a fire. Kumbaya, my Lord. Do you want to know one of the main things I see when husbands and wives come into my office is that they hold the offense of the past to their future. They're living in their yesterday to manifest in their today. How many of you sinned within the last week? You don't have to. You know that, right? You don't have to sin. We choose to sin. So if you don't raise your hand, you literally might not have sinned in a week. What? That's a whole nother sermon. How many of you have sinned in a week? How many of you have sinned at least 3 times since you've been born again?
Oh, that's me.
are glad that Christ not only forgives, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and he throws your sin as far as the east is to the west, and he remembers it every other day. He remembers it when you did it again. He remembers it because you did it 1,422 times. No, he throws it from the far as the east is to the west and remembers it. Why does he do that? Because he loves you and he actually believes in you. You see, when we hold records of wrong, we're actually telling somebody, I really don't believe in you. I really don't believe you can change. I really don't believe that you aren't the same person you always were. That's why, man, Christ is telling us, if you really love people, listen, I'm talking to some of these people that are nasty. I'm not talking to your husband or your wife. I mean, we always look at the husband. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking like somebody that you have known for a long time, and you just always throw in their face everything they've always done. That's not love. And how many of you are glad God don't do that to you? Not enough people. How many of you are glad God don't do that to you? Amen. It's a good thing to know that God forgives you and he throws it as far as the east of the west and remembers it no more. Now listen, I'm not saying that you put your hand back under the mallet. But I'm saying now you still got to love them. Whoa. This love thing, Jesus. I don't know about this love thing. Love doesn't rejoice when bad things happen to evil people. I told you they should fry. Do you remember the time the disciples, they got denied in a town and they said, that's Jesus. And they thought they were being really spiritual. They looked at Jesus and said, let's call down fire from heaven and consume the whole city. And Jesus said, you don't even know what spirit you're of. You don't even know what spirit you're of. See, the one thing I love about our Lord, and when you actually take all the components of genuine love and put them together, it means this. I really believe in you. And even though you're the biggest screw up I've ever met in my entire life, I will never give up on you. Listen, if you call on my name, I'll be there. When you're really hurting and you need me, I've not given up on you. And if you grow in love with me, I'll make you my example to real people. Come on, everybody in this room, we're all looking for the same thing. We're on right now by live stream. You're looking for the same thing. Every one of us, I don't care how much money you got, how little money you got. I don't care what kind of car you drive, your hair, your age, your skin, wrinkly, tight. I'm noticing as I'm getting older. I looked at my hand the other day and it was like, there's wrinkles. I tried pouring water on it to see if it would rehydrate. It didn't work. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter any of those details. What matters is this. Every one of us want to be loved. I'm talking genuinely, truly loved, not because of what we do or what we have but because of who we are inside. We all want to be loved. Amen. If the church don't love anymore, then why would they want God? If we're not showing the example, then why would they want the Jesus we serve? Well, I'm a righteous person. Really? Then if you were righteous, you'd have got down on your hands and knees like Jesus did to Judas when he knew Judas was going to betray him, and he washed his feet. True love isn't, I'm justified. You know, there's these guys that stand out on the corners. Man, there was a dude, he came to Elmira College not too many years ago. And do you remember what his name is? Do you remember? He has this box, and he stands on this box. You're going to hell. Do you know how many salvations he gets? Probably none. Because the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. You see, when somebody actually tastes genuine love, when somebody actually, this is what I love so much about Jesus, what I love about pastoring, because I genuinely love people. You can listen now, I've made a lot of mistakes in life. I'm not the nicest person sometimes, but the one thing that nobody can ever say against me is that I don't genuinely love people. And when somebody tastes the genuine love of Christ, when someone tastes the genuine reality of Christ, then there's something they cannot deny. They can walk away, but they'll always come back. Why? Because they know what genuine love is. Man, that prodigal son, he thought he had it in his pocket. He went out and he spent all that he had. He was the party king. He spent all his money, and then he realized that they didn't love him. They just used him. Do you love people? You really love people? You see, and no one can answer that but you and I. I can't answer that for you. My favorite one, and I'm very late, so I'm sorry. It's 12:30 already. Somewhere in the world, it's 12:30. Here's my favorite. Love is safe. And it's willing to think the best of somebody. You know, I've gotten so much trouble over the years. Do you hear her smirk? Yeah. Because I've gotten betrayed so many times. I've gotten wounded so many times. Simply because I really do believe the best in everybody. I really believe that what you did yesterday doesn't have to happen today. I really believe that what God's plan is for your life is real, and that, man, you can have it whenever you want it. Can I hear an amen? You see, I believe that. And so when I look at people, I'm not like cynical. You know cynical. Waiting for the other shoe to drop. Waiting for them to walk away. Waiting for them to hurt you. Waiting for them to... Listen, I learned a long time ago, man, when you genuinely love people, you're always in the position of being hurt. It's a great place, even though you're vulnerable, even though you're going to get wounded. It's an awesome place to be wounded. Why? Because that means you're like Jesus and you love people. I'd rather be wounded than be cold. Love is safe. Now listen, true safe love is still confrontational. Boy, that got quiet. Didn't you hear that, Dennis? True safe love is confrontational. The Bible says that if you're not confronted and you're not corrected, then you're no more than a bastard. It means you're not even a son or a daughter. You know, there are people that have come to this church that I've been very confrontational with, and I've been aggressive with, and I've even had people that I've said, I don't want you to talk to them any longer. I've had pastors that I've had to disconnect from the body of Christ. Why? Because they were causing damage and wound. And I've talked to the people and I said, I don't want you to communicate with them. Why did I do that? Because I'm mean? Because I don't have love? No. True love is confrontational because true love is safe, and sometimes you got to protect those. You don't want to get eaten by a wolf, do you? Well, the shepherd's job to make sure the wolf don't get your toes. You know, this is really real. You know, because a lot of people, they just don't realize that the job of the pastor in his troubles is that you've got to sometimes put a stop to things. How many of you remember Paul the Apostle? How many of you love Paul? How many of you know Paul loved people? All two of you. How many of you know Paul loved people? Here it is. Ready? Paul said this in 1 Corinthians. I hear there's a man in sin in your congregation that you don't even hear from the world. He's having sex with his father's wife. So I want you to let you know what I'm going to do. I'm giving him over to Satan for the destruction of his body, but the salvation of his soul. Well, that don't sound like love. That was exactly love. Because love is safe, which means sometimes you need the pudding kicked out of you. Can I hear an amen? We need some folks with some pudding kicked out of them. Can I hear an amen? They're living in their life of sin, and there is no repentance, and they need a confrontation called safety so that they are not in a delusion, that they're okay, that they're living in love. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, when we love God, when we love people, we're not out there doing whatever we want. We're out there doing right. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Good news, by the way, about that guy. In 2 Corinthians, he repented. You can't make up your own definition of love. You and I don't have a right to do our own thing. So the question is not whether or not we go to church, not whether or not we're going to heaven, but whether or not I'm still here, by the way, which means my job's not done. Do I really love people? Do I really care? Do I really, really love people? And I want you to realize in this house, our prayer is simple. God, give us a baptism of love for people again, that we'll see them not how we see them, with their hair, their eyes, their height, their clothes. Lord, I pray that we'll start seeing them the way you do. Jesus, that we'll be moved like you are moved. God, you are moved that they're eternal beings. You are moved that they're your sons and daughters. If they're not saved, that God, they're lost. And if they're lost, you sent your son Jesus because you love them so desperately to apply the blood that would wash away their sins. But they must confess. They must know true love will always share the gospel. Remember, I did a litmus test last week. I'll do it again because my time is way over. If you've not led someone to the Lord or at least shared the gospel with somebody this year, the question is, do you genuinely love people? Now, you don't have to do it like everybody else. We're not saying you got to go out on the street corner. You could do it over tea, over coffee, over bacon and eggs at Samples. Jesus. I was just going to jump into the food realm, so let's stay focused. Do you love people? Or do you just love yourself? See, when you love people, your life actually takes on meaning. Meaning is this, that my life does not actually need a gravestone when I die. You see, if you need a gravestone when you die for people to identify where you're laid, then you didn't love people. You just lived life. But when you love people, I'm talking love people like Jesus loves people, You don't need an epitaph. Your life was your epitaph. And people will know you. They changed my life because of their love for me. Do you love people or do you just love yourself? Bow your heads with me this morning. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know true love. True love is that God sent His only begotten Son that you should live. I'm not talking joining a religion or a tradition or joining a church. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking, He said, I want you to become my baby girl. I want you to become my son. I want to invite you into my family. I want you to know that I'm there for you. I want you to know that the promises are yay and amen. I want you to know that if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive. You see, Jesus loves you so much that He's given you His greatest gift, and that is His life. No greater love than you have than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're watching on live stream, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this is your moment, this is your time to receive the greatest love this world has ever seen. His name is Jesus. Today, if you'd like to receive Christ, you know there's a sin between you and God and you want to make it right. You're not sure if you take your last breath. Last week I said, how many of you know somebody who died young? His hands went up all over. The next day, a 16-year-old boy drowned in the pond right behind us. We don't know. We don't know. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, you want to receive this love that He has for you, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend. Thank you, young lady. Is there anyone else this morning? Come on, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You can put it right back down. Thank you, young man. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. Is there anyone else? I'm not going to wait long. Come on. 5, 4. I've got to hurry up and end. 5, 4, 3. Get your hand up. 3, 2. Last call. And one. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. This is what I want you to do this week. Here's your homework. What? That's right. You went to church. You get homework. I want you to find that person that's really hard for you to love. And I want you to do something kind for them. Who will say, I'll do that, Pastor? That person you find hard to love. Now, I'm not asking you to reintroduce them into your life. I'm not asking you to put your hand under the mallet again. I'm asking you to do good to those who despitefully use you. By the way, that's a verse in the Bible. Give them love even when they don't deserve it. That's who we are, right? We don't deserve love. He first loved us. Amen. Could I have the young man and the young woman? I'm going to ask you to be brave. If you'll just step right out, meet me right up front right here. I just want to make sure that you understand Jesus. Come on, can you give him a hand clap? You all came the same way, came to the gospel. Proud of you, man. Proud of you. Congratulations, young lady. Today you'll never be the same again. Sir, proud of you, man. Proud of you. This is my daughter-in-law, Mindy, and she's going to pray with you. We're going to get you Bibles and make sure you know exactly what you're doing. We don't want you to just start this race. We want you to finish this race. All the way. Amen? All the way. Never going back. Can I hear an amen? All the way. Yeah, proud of you. Be blessed. Be blessed. Father, I just release blessing on this church in the name of Jesus. I declare that every one of us will be able to share the love of Christ this week with somebody. That God will be able to plant, one will be able to water, and God, you'll bring the increase. I declare and decree in the name of Christ, this house so full that, Lord, every one of us will have to find a seat on a Sunday morning in both services. I declare, God, Ithaca will explode, God, in Jesus' name. That, Lord, will be outgrown of that building within the next 6 months for the glory of God. I declare in Jesus' name that we'll make a supernatural impact with the love of Christ on our region, and they'll know that God is good and not bad for the glory of God. And everybody shouted, I love you. Serve God with all of your heart.